Wait, is that the tag on the hat? Hmm? Oh, yeah. Just from this angle, it looks so big. It's like you have a headlamp or something.
No, it's Bluetooth controls.
Oh. Bluetooth hat?
Yeah. There's two speakers, so that way you can make calls and listen to shit.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's like a $15 hat.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah. It gets you about that quality as well, so it's... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I only wear it now because it's one of the only hats like this I have that doesn't, like, protrude out or restrict anything.
Unlike my thick wool band here.
Yeah.
I need the extra layers.
Well, that's the most cookie thing I've heard all day regarding your hat. It's Fancy Ramen, episode 93. It is November 24th. Happy Black Saturday, everybody.
I'm Cookie. Hi.
And I'm Scott.
And you know I'm Neil. Happy late Thanksgiving, guys. I don't think I messaged either of you.
That's okay.
I didn't message you either, so, you know, it's what else.
We were all busy. I know that you guys feel it in your heart. Plus, I probably ate so much I couldn't read anyway.
We're off to a great start this morning.
I'm still in a stupor from Thursday, so I'm going to take it at a casual pace here.
I mean, while we're on the topic, I think it's perfectly fine to talk about what we ate on Thanksgiving, if there was anything that stood out to you.
My sister, aka our number one fan.
If she still listens.
Nah. But I think she pretty much nailed my late grandmother's sweet potato pie recipe.
Ooh. That's a good recipe to get down.
Yeah, she's been tweaking at it and working at it like every year, basically. And this is like the closest we've gotten.
That was actually my favorite thing I ate this year for Thanksgiving, was also a sweet potato pie / casserole. Just mashed sweet potatoes, a couple other ingredients, and then like maple syrup and pecans to sweeten it up. So delightful.
That sounds fancy.
Neil said his favorite parts were none of the Thanksgiving items.
So the steak?
Yeah, no, it's just like, I'm, call me weird, but like I don't have like a huge fascination for most Thanksgiving food.
You enjoyed the heated calorie bar in non-flavor.
The calorie, what was it? Calorie bar? Calorie Mate. Yeah. If you gave me a cheese-flavored Calorie Mate on Thanksgiving, I'd probably be fine with that.
Isn't Calorie Mate the name of the item in Metal Gear Solid that you use?
Yes. Did I not tell you guys how I bought a pack from Amazon?
No. Or maybe you have. You probably have on a much earlier episode.
And I'm not talking about like shit-talking Thanksgiving food. Like, it's more just that like I have a weird fascination for those food substitute things. So like I would be down to have, I don't know. I'm also, for the sake of being strange and weird, maybe I've also had like some very strange Thanksgiving dinners over the course of my life, from like the ultimate ramen, which involved instant ramen, chunks of ham, turkey, a bunch of assorted vegetables, and I don't recall what else, but that was probably the most sodium I've ever, you know, consumed in my life.
I do take
some of my statements back. The one thing I do look forward to every Thanksgiving is probably stuffing, because I don't think I ever have stuffing anymore.
There are very few opportunities for you to take stale bread and get it all soggy and then eat it outside of Thanksgiving.
I'm not
hating on stuffing because I like it, but that is actually the only occasion I really find it acceptable to eat.
Yeah, when you analyze
it. Or in
it,
prison.
I mean, stuffing, at least the traditional stuffing where you're using bread pieces, it's basically bad, like really bad bread pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tracks.
It's like someone was like, oh shit, I made my bread pudding inside of this turkey.
Well, it's savory now.
And while we're on the topic, have you guys heard of people using like sausage instead as a stuffing?
For the turkey?
Yeah.
Interesting. No, I have not heard that. I believe it. I believe you can stuff a turkey with anything. I believe that turkeys can be stuffed with a chicken and then stuffed with a duck even.
Wait, a duck, then the I think you have to do the duck first, then the chicken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, that
it was
would
a
make
huge
more sense.
Chicken and a relatively runt of a duck. And then a Cornish game hen.
Sweet.
And then a peep, one of those yellow marshmallow peeps.
I mean, you do keep the bird theme going, so why not?
My God, just imagine that bite. You'd be like, man, this is so savory, it's so gamey, and oh, sweet? What?
So aside from that, you guys score anything big on your Black Fridays?
I didn't actually buy anything yesterday. Zero Black Friday shopping was done in this household by me. Though Sierra was shopping so much, she asked me to stop her from continuing at a certain point. And then she kept mentioning all the things she bought after the fact. And I was like, am I failing at my job, or how much did you shop before you asked me to stop you?
Nice. Did she get anything good? Is she going to make a haul video now?
Did you get anything good? I got a huh, so who knows? Who's to say?
I ended up getting one thing, as me and my brother were out looking for a birthday present for my sister. So I guess I bought a year's worth of PlayStation Plus for myself and a year for her Christmas birthday, blah. And I ended up getting a RCA 2-in-1 Cambio laptop.
RCA.
Yeah. You know, that old company that used to make the video cameras?
And TVs and VCRs.
I don't know why for a second there I heard RCA and thought RHA, because they make a bunch of like earbuds, headphones, and other like audiophile level quality stuff.
Nah.
So just to make sure I heard you clear, you got an RCA laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cambio 2-in-1.
Oh, is it one of those where it flips into a tablet?
No, so this one's the one that's got the little... Yeah, it's basically a Surface that runs Windows 10 and was like $70.
Nice.
So I got it mainly for D&Ding.
Oh, yeah, I can see that being useful.
Yeah, so I ended up picking one of those up because Walmart was a just super big shit show, and my brother was like, okay, this is what I'm looking for. They're usually out in the aisles. I was like, cool, I'm going to use the agility of a person that doesn't have a cart. And then I just started taking all the back alleys, went up and down the electronics aisle. I was like, huh, that's a good price. Worst case scenario, it's super stupid and I'll just return it tomorrow.
I was imagining more of a like Heisman Trophy dodging through the aisles, pull it off the shelf in a spin move, and then like slide into line.
Nah, I wasn't quite that good. I actually stopped for a second, asked a person, because I couldn't find like what the price of it was anywhere around it. So I was like, what is this going for? It was like $70. I was like, cool.
Thanks.
And then I went down the complete other side of the electronics section to see that they had no video games, but lots of controllers left. So I was like, okay, well, I'll grab this color for my sister. And my brother called me. He was like, where are you at? I was like, I'm heading back to where I left you. He's like, cool. Start heading directly towards the entrance in like between this section and this section. I was like, all right. And I get there and there is no line. There are like lines 30 feet to the left and 30 feet to the right, but where he was at, there is no line. So we were in and out in like 10 minutes. It was nice. And then we went to go see Wreck-It Ralph. Ralph Breaks the Internet.
I just saw that's what I actually did a little bit this weekend as I finally saw the first Wreck-It Ralph so I could enjoy the second one. So I am excited. Hopefully it's good.
Oh, it is. Amazeballs, actually.
Excellent.
Like they're doing it right, and it made me excited because like I'm kind of excited for the next How to Train Your Dragons as well, because besides the TV show spinoffs, they're doing those movies right as well.
Oh yeah, those movies melt my heart.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, animated series nowadays are just they're just doing it right. And spoiler alert, there's a Toy Story 4.
Yep.
I do remember seeing that, and I thought to myself, why does that need to exist?
I thought that there already was a Toy Story 4, and so I was like, why is every... Oh, I guess I'm off on the numbers.
So did you notice that one of the things they did, or one of the characters they brought back for Toy Story 4?
Tom Hanks as Woody?
I mean, that was not in the third one.
That wasn't in the third one, but was in the second or first?
Yes.
Are you talking like an actual human being or a type of toy?
A toy.
They bring back Zurg?
I mean, maybe. I don't know if they do or not. They bring back a little Bo Peep.
Oh.
Who, I don't know if you guys saw the third movie, but I thought it was, I could be wrong, but I thought that it was basically insinuated that she was lost or quote unquote dead or something.
Toys can't die.
Yeah, they can.
I guess
that was the entire like point of the what'd you call it? Was she not in the third one?
Not in the third one.
No, yeah, I guess she wasn't in the third one.
I thought toys only died if they got melted.
Yeah, pretty much.
So if you got thrown out into the garbage, you're still alive, but you're crushed by trash, unable to move for the rest of your eternity, just staring at, you know, like waste for a billion years until it decomposes or something. Or you decompose as a toy, I guess.
Man, existential dread comes in a whole different way after thinking about Toy Story.
Well,
great.
Who knows? We'll probably end up seeing this movie whether we want to or not at some point in time. It's how they get you with rebooting these nostalgic titles.
This isn't a reboot.
It's not
this
a reboot.
Another sequel.
Continuation.
After toys were given to not Andy.
Girl Andy.
Yeah. Mandy? Mandy's a girl name.
Or Sandy.
It.
It really could be any of those.
Landy.
Yeah, Landy. There we go.
Now we're really cooking with gas. Man, I'm tired.
You've been staying up late?
Nah, since I kind of snore at night, Lizzie and we had a company over, instead of being able to get kicked out into the guest bedroom, I got kicked out into
the
basement.
Oh, okay.
Basically. And it's like, yeah, I'm just not going to go back to sleep.
Have you ever considered doing like a sleep study?
A CPAP?
I am going to be doing a sleep study to get a CPAP.
You and me both.
Oh, wow.
Because you need to do the sleep study before they'll give you anything before they'll subsidize things like CPAPs.
Yep.
So yeah, so sometime next year, early next year, I'll be getting the sleep study, doing the sleep study once, so that way I'm not like wasting deductible.
It's been kind of a hassle trying to get it under my plan, but I think things are in place now to do a take-home test or an in clinic study. But
I thought they were all pretty much in clinic studies, so I was going to just be like, because I didn't want to do much research on it until I knew what my plan's going to be for next year. And then I don't want to actually do it until that actually kicks in.
You didn't want to study up for the sleep study?
No. It's like that test that you fall asleep during. And then you wake up realizing you didn't answer any of the questions.
Or you wake up realizing that luckily, since you were cramming and falling asleep all the time, that you were in the perfect state of mind to do the test.
It sounds like an anime.
No, it sounds like calculus for me. Well, okay, so I guess all that stuff, we've basically talked about Thanksgiving and Black Friday.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. So what video games have you guys been playing? Cookie, what video games have you been playing?
Call of Duty? And that's all I've been playing. I've been actually... weirdly enough, pulling you and just watching people play video games.
I don't really do that often.
You do it the most out of the three of us.
Yeah,
you do
probably.
It the most out of the three of us. I mean,
my justification is because it's going to be games I don't want to play.
Yeah, or buy.
Like, I mean, Corpse sometimes. Party. I'll talk about that.
Or League of Legends.
I don't think... I do watch professional players play League of Legends in the North American League Championship Series, but much like other people in the world that watch the NBA play when they could just go out and play basketball. You know, it's different strokes for different folks.
So I was doing that this week, but instead of League of Legends, it was for fighting game tournaments.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
There was a big Tekken 7 tournament, regional Red Bull tournament. I forgot who won, but either way it was quite fun. But yeah, so just been playing Call of Duty. It's got some updates on it. They are gouging the heck out of microtransactions in a way that's not loot boxes, which is kind of crazy now.
You mean they're like making them of a lesser of a greater value for the money you put in, or a lesser value for the money you put in?
What they're doing now is something they call the contraband stream, which is pretty much what Fortnite does, where as you play, you unlock tiers that get you things. And they opened up Blackjack Shop so that way you could buy things directly. And with Blackjack Shop, things are really expensive. So like the outfit is like $9 for a character. They had two gun skins and three random supply drops that you could buy. Oh god, I think it was like $11. So they're just really expensive.
Right, but you can earn them otherwise in the game if you're willing to work for it.
No, not really.
Yikes.
Okay.
So it was like one of the weapon skins that you could buy for $11 was the pre-order exclusive, if you pre-ordered at GameStop, the Definity Strife pistol. And yeah. So it's like, oh, you only get this if you did this one thing for this short period of time.
Yeah.
Now you can also pay $11. You're welcome.
Man, it makes me feel better buying Smash early for Piranha Plant when I hear about other games and their like exploitative practices.
Oh god, I do have to buy Smash. Shit.
Get it soon.
Yeah. I gotta get Smash, and then I gotta get Kingdom Hearts, and then I'm done. Then I'm out.
Then we turn this into a Kingdom Hearts lore podcast.
Man, we've got like years to cover.
I know.
Where do we start? Let's start with the mobile game, guys. So let's all download Kingdom Hearts Key or X Unchained. Let's get going. Let's do this. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Neil, I want to hear about your weird games that you've been playing.
So I watched... Because I'm not going... I played some games. I'll get to those
guys,
in a second.
Guys, I don't watch
too.
That much games. This is the basis of my talk, but...
No, so since I brought it up before, I did want to point out that I did watch the entirety of Corpse Party, and that is a... I don't know. It's actually not as bad as I had heard, but it's an old like RPG Maker style game. It got remade, and that's what I was watching. That actually got translated to English. For the PSP, if I'm not mistaken, but it's basically about a bunch of students that get into this very contrived curse, we'll say, and end up in like a realm where like a spiritual realm where living people also exist only to die there, and some of the classmates get killed, and it's kind of gruesome and gritty at times. Like there's a tiny bit of body horror to it, but for the most part it's just like a typical horror narrative driven game. But I guess it kind of got me in the mood for other horror games, so as a result, since we just activated PlayStation Now this week, so Tiffany's brother could play Until Dawn a bit, I played a game called Siren, or it might be Project Siren actually, let me double check that. But it's for the PlayStation 2, if I'm not mistaken. Project Siren released for the PlayStation 2. Siren is the first game. PlayStation 2. Really interesting idea behind Siren. And that's basically that you have the ability to see through the eyes of allies and enemies, or the monster slash zombies, if you will. So as you're traversing through this game in like a third person sort of action-y style game, generally speaking, like combat is a thing, but sometimes you are not able to use combat to your advantage, like if there are too many enemies or if you don't have a weapon. So you end up using your sight jack, as they call it, to essentially change your POV to one of the enemies. And then, seeing like through the enemy's eyes, you can determine where they're moving, what their route is, or their loop in some cases, and determine the best time at which you can like advance through the stage to effectively get to your destination without encountering them. Now, that's like a pretty cool concept. I was actually really in love with that concept immediately upon playing the game. But the game as a whole is kind of buggy in weird ways, that buggy and like the presentation is not necessarily great. So it plays within chapters, and kind of like in the same way that Metal Gear Solid 5 sort of breaks the immersion by having your credits at the start of each mission, it sort of does the same thing where it goes to a plain screen and says objective or mission objective, reach this point at the start of every chapter of the game. And like chapters can be as short as like 5 minutes to even just a simple cutscene. So like every chapter, there's an objective that pops up. And at the end of each chapter, you get mission completed afterwards. And it's really, really not great for a horror game where, you know, immersion is the absolute necessity at making it successful.
Well, did they ever subvert that expectation at all? Because that would be a good way to like set up events that subvert what your objective or stated goal is, right? For them to twist it on you or make it impossible to achieve.
Yeah, like using it like a sort of meta thing, but it never happened once for me.
That's too bad. It's a PS2 game. It wasn't going to happen.
Psycho Mantis was on a PS1 game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you can do creative things with like limited hardware. And,
but not without creative people.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the part we were missing.
And like I also want to point out that this game was made before movement controls in a third-person game were really like well-established. Like, I would think for the most part, nowadays, your movement on your left analog stick is going to be your strafing, your, like, move forward, move to the side. It has nothing to do with turning for the most part. But this game, it's kind of like you're playing Resident Evil, except the camera is always attached behind the character's head. So forward is forward, backwards is actually walking backwards, which is quite a bit slower. And then left and right are turning. So if you want to move, like, technically you can't just like move in a straight forward left direction, because what that is going to do if you move the stick in that direction is you're going to constantly be turning while moving forward. And then the right stick, and this is what bugs me the most, I think, is the fact that it doesn't follow the traditional control pattern. Your right stick is actually a gated look. So if you hold the right analog stick to the left, it's going to move your camera a chunk of the way, but your character's still in the frame. So it's really just like a gated view. So technically, the right analog stick, in my opinion, is just fucking worthless. So it's really hard to control, and because we're using it with PlayStation Now, which is the streaming service, we do have the option of downloading, of course. It just doesn't feel great because there's a latency built into the game. So, needless to say, I got a couple chapters through, and I was like, this is garbage. Really, really cool concept, but it sucks. So, and maybe it was good for the time. And I also forgot to mention, too, because it was an early, you know, an early PlayStation 2 game, if I'm not mistaken, the graphics, the enemies were actually not that scary, but what was scary were the human models. Because, essentially, you had, like, somewhat simplistic polygonal blobs for heads, and then they basically just pasted on JPEGs of actual human faces.
That's the way to do it.
That's some very uncanny valley stuff.
It was rough, to say the least. since we're, you know, still in the mood for like kind of horror type games, I went ahead and played Siren Blood Curse, which was a PlayStation 3 game. It's in the same series of Project Siren. And from what I'm reading, it is the third game in the series. In a lot of ways, though, it's actually kind of like a remake of the original Siren, because I was finding a lot of those early chapters were more or less just like remade or recreated, re-envisioned. And while like a lot of the problems I had with the first game were kind of fixed up, like the bad presentation, the bad graphics and so forth. And also the best part from a gameplay standpoint is that your sight jack actually would divide up your monitors, so you could see what an enemy was doing while you were still active and moving about in the world. Whereas before, if you were sight jacking into an enemy or an ally, it consumed up your entire screen and you'd have to leave it before you could do anything else. What it didn't do, though, unfortunately, was clean up or like get rid of the weird chapter presentation, so you still had the objective and mission complete thing at the start and end of each chapter, which again is super immersion breaking. But I did love the fact the game actually, upon its creation, was built to be bilingual, if you will. So like what I mean by that is that the one of the main characters in that game is Yuri Lowenthal, who is a famous voice actor. For us, probably best known for providing the voice for the protagonist in Persona 3, English, of course. So Yuri Lowenthal's likeness is in the game, and he's obviously not called Yuri in the game. It's like some American name. The voice acting's actually pretty good, and the lip syncing's like spot on, because it was always meant to be an American foreign exchange student as the character, and all of the other characters in the game that are Japanese are voiced by Japanese voice actors, and the lip syncing again, top notch. And just to kind of further iterate, like this game was created by is it Studio Japan or Sony Japan? It whatever the actual name is, but it's the studio that like the in-house Sony studio that did some help on like Bloodborne, for instance. I'm pretty sure
that is Studio Japan. Let's see, Japan Studio, SIE Japan Studio.
I have a feeling this game was basically kind of made to look and sound as good as possible to kind of showcase what the PlayStation 3 was capable of. And I'm not sure if it seems like it was probably an earlier PlayStation 3 game, because like when you say that The Last of Us was also a PlayStation 3 release, you kind of think to yourself, well, all right, this game looks pretty shitty in comparison. But it's actually pretty fun. I love the concept of the sidejack, and I love how it impacts how you can play the game and how you approach each encounter. Now, granted, the controls still suck because they really didn't change the scheme from the original Siren to Blood Curse. But as a whole, like this, it's pretty fun overall, and there's a pretty interesting. It seems pretty interesting for a storyline so far, that essentially you're like you basically have this village that more or less seems to have become corrupt by something, and when people get killed by these other zombies, but they seem intelligent still, like they can still shoot firearms and stuff like that, they in fact return from the dead as the same zombie like entity. They have a specific name for it, Shibito, I guess. But so it gives you a leg up from the typical scare of zombies, because zombies are inherently stupid. You can, you know, do a lot of things to get around zombies. But yeah, well, while we still have the PlayStation Now trial, I'm definitely going to try and fit a few more, sit downs with it, because it seems like a fun game overall.
That's cool. I'd like to make a correction for one thing that you did say.
Sure.
For about why we would most know who Yuri Lowenthal is. He's Peter Parker in the new Spider-Man game.
Oh, really? No way.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't played Spider-Man yet, so I wouldn't have known.
Ah, but yeah, that's what people would probably know him from.
Plus, I didn't even know the protagonist in Persona 3 spoke.
He just says he Persona did not. Names. Orpheus!
Okay.
He was also in Persona 4, actually.
He is Yosuke in Persona 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he's Sasuke.
In Naruto, yep. He's in a bunch of different games, animes. Yeah, I didn't mean to downplay it, but that's the role I know very well of his in Persona 3.
It's Mercury Black and Ruby Chibi, apparently. He's in Fooly Cooly Progressive as Marco Nagata. So he's a pretty big guy.
Oh, he is big. And he's also Simon in Gurren Lagann and Suzaku Kurugi in Code Geass.
Yeah. How dare you just knock him down to a JRPG?
His best role, Persona 3?
That's very niche to one particular part of the world.
It's like the last thing noted on his voiceover career on Wikipedia. You chose the last credit almost.
I don't know. So for me, it's like why that one stands out to me is because you can tell it's Yuri immediately when he yells. And that's all he does in Persona 3. He just yells constantly. So it's like, that's what I remember.
Oh my God, isn't Dead or Alive 5? Huh.
Yeah, he's probably all over the place. There are like probably 5 voice actors in all of...
the world.
Male voice actors in the American localization scene. And he is one of them. Anywho, aside from that, another thing I was just going to bring up was I picked up a PlayStation VR.
Spoiler alert, it was not my PlayStation VR. I sold mine to a different guy in Lincoln.
You sold it before I could talk to you too much about it, but that's okay. Like, I got some games with it. I got a decent deal. And in the process, we got Super Hot and a few other games. So that'll
Beat Saber?
Haven't gotten that yet, but that'll probably be on the list. So that game looks super fun.
It is.
But maybe the most enjoyable game so far was... me trying to calibrate the headset with the headset still on.
Oh, yeah. I did that the first time, too. Yeah, it doesn't work so well.
Cause
just take it off.
You put it on, and you're like, okay, let's do it. And it's like, I'm too lazy to take it off. I'm sure I can make this work. So Tiffany's watching me try and, like, maneuver my head to the camera in the correct way. So, like, what the calibration entails is basically lining up the lights on the PSVR to the camera's perspective. And in doing so,
Giving like profile shots as well.
Exactly. And behind shots. So, and because like the camera is set at a specific height, that involves like crouching and then like torquing your body in weird ways to try and get the lights to line up perfectly. So that was actually kind of one of those fun, stupid moments. So yeah, already got our enjoyment before we started any games.
That's good. Does the nose piece kind of smell rubbery and weird?
Not on mine, but...
okay, that's good.
I'll be sure to smell it more.
I was going to say if it does, because that was like the thing that actually got me motion sick with the PlayStation VR, was the rubber piece that actually like bridged your nose gap for whatever reason. Because after I washed it and like got rid of the rubber industrial smell, I was able to play like... what's that one... that I didn't like playing because it was you and a mech robot playing a sports game. The first one that came out. I want to say Arms, but it's not Arms. Rigs.
Oh, right. Was that
so
fun?
So Rigs, no. It's an okay game. There are better games now, but Rigs really made me motion sick. Then after I watched a thing, it didn't make me motion sick at all. I was like, oh, okay. I can deal with this. Eagle Flight was like the first game that was like, oh, this is you going really, really fast and doing things and you not getting motion sick.
I tried a demo for Thumper, and that game was like, I don't necessarily know if I would play it if it wasn't in VR, but it was pretty fun.
It's fun not in VR, but it's not the same as like seeing the giant face come over the horizon.
Yep.
And like trying to swallow you whole. Yeah, that it's an amazing feeling in VR. So yeah, Thumper's also like an excellent game to get.
And then of course there's Rez.
Oh, I didn't even bother.
Really?
Because it was it's only the infinite level that's actually truly Freedom VR. Everything else is still just the on-rail shooter. And I was like, I don't feel like paying the $15 or whatever it was for just one level.
I can get you. I get that. Scott, what games have you been playing?
Red Dead Redemption 2, Red Dead Redemption 2, and a little Red Dead Redemption 2. It's all I've touched, I think, this past week, and I've started finding some secret items, which is pretty exciting. I don't know why I didn't think Rockstar wouldn't have like secret items and Easter eggs hidden around in the game, but I guess from not playing the previous Red Dead and not playing a GTA game in ages, I was really surprised when I started finding items that I thought were kind of outside the norm of Arthur's usual repertoire. I found a Viking helmet, Viking comb, and a Viking hatchet in an old Viking tomb in the middle of the woods.
What is that referencing?
I don't. I guess probably I should use Vikings? Easter eggs. Yeah, Easter eggs doesn't sound right.
No,
because that's normally a reference to other things. This is more like secret items.
Well, that makes sense. Have you talked to the guy from the future yet?
There's a guy from the future? No.
Yeah, there's a guy from the future in the game.
Is he just trash talking the protagonist from GTA 3?
Nah, unfortunately not. He's just trying to get back to the future.
Is it Doc Brown? Is it Doc Brown and Marty McFly?
Nah, it's he looks more like Howard Stark.
Okay,
Tony Stark's father. And
you lost me.
He looks like Iron Man's Robert Downey Jr.'s father, I guess.
Okay,
in
like
the
an
cartoons.
Old Robert Downey Jr. or basically a completely different look.
A completely different look, just like a young. Old Robert Downey Jr.
A young old Robert Downey Jr. My brain is melting a little bit trying to put this together.
Guy
from
Google
the future.
Howard Stark.
I'll have to keep my eyes out for him. But I didn't realize how many like secret items are hidden about in this game or tucked around. Like, have you guys explored any cave systems yet?
No. Mm-hmm.
No? The caves in this game are great and very claustrophobic in the first person view. But I've started doing more of the like treasure hunting on top of just bumping into some of these secrets out in the wild. And there's something really satisfying about doing all of these like smaller challenges or I guess unscripted quests, because they've built a detailed enough world that like navigation is completely possible without a compass or your mini map, I guess. And unique landmarks are like easy enough to determine and look at that it makes these like treasure map quests a lot of fun, with like digging around environments or finding familiar places and realizing that there was a treasure like under your nose the whole time. The only thing I find a little disappointing about how they script these is that you can't accidentally find a treasure without going through all the steps first. Like, I found a mound that was decorated with rocks to look like a rattlesnake. And at the center of the mound is supposed to be, it looks more like an eye than a clutch of eggs, but I think it's supposed to be a clutch of eggs. And there's a big hole in it. And I just kind of stood around it trying to see if I could get any sort of action prompt, and nothing would happen. But later when I started, or when I completed the first round of the poisonous trail treasure hunt, later I went back to the same spot because it appeared on the map, and as soon as I got nearby it gave me the prompt to like dig around in it to look for treasure. So I'm a little disappointed that they don't have it where you can stumble into a treasure hunt like midway, because each point gives you rewards. So it's like if you were to accidentally stumble into something at point 2 or point 4 and you get the ultimate treasure for that, it's like you still found it by hunting around and doing a bunch of searching in areas that are off the beaten path. But you can always go back and get other items. I don't know why I like having to go through it in a linear way where you have to find the first map to start the mission. I mean, it's probably to keep people from just exploiting it and getting to the big treasure by looking at cheats online, but you're missing out on the fun if you do that.
But that's the fun part, is getting the stuff.
Is getting the stuff? I don't know. I think the journey is just as important as the end point.
Dang, I was hoping you were going to say the journey is more important, because then I was going to say, I've got a game for you, and it's
journey?
Called No Man's Sky.
Oh. The journey is more important than the conclusion. But the journey has to be fun, too. That's the catch. That's where I can rebuke your No Man's Sky suggestion. But no, I'm just I'm enjoying how detailed this world is. I'm starting to finish out my legendary animals repertoire as well, but I can't find this goddamn bull gator that is supposedly hanging out in the swamp, because every time I enter its territory, one of two things happen. There are too many gators in the area and I can't track him, or I'm too busy being death rolled by a gator to try and initiate a quest. I'm surprised you can get out of it. You can survive a fatal incident with some of these higher level predators for one, like you can have one mistake with them. I got death rolled by a gator. I've been pulled off of my horse by a cougar. Wolves are just tough if there's like six or seven, because as soon as you shoot one, another one charges at you.
It's a long dark all over again.
Yeah, the long dark, you have even less of a chance. I'm pretty sure if they put cougars in the long dark, I wouldn't play that game anymore. I just like literally circle my hut the whole time looking into the trees. Like, I know you're out there. I don't know, man. I've had a lot of fun with this game, but unfortunately, it's completely prevented me from playing anything else.
Oh, that's okay. I forgive you. You're still loved.
Yeah. There's a great twist that comes up in the story when you guys get far enough.
It turns out you're a villain.
It turns out you're a bad guy the whole time. As a Robin stealing no good bandit. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it really... this is... Ultimately, the name of the game is Red Dead Redemption, right? And I assume the first game is based upon the same basic like mechanics as this game, where you are choosing to be good cowboy or bad cowboy during the game. And there comes a point that gives a valid reason for Arthur to have a change of heart on whether he's good cowboy or bad cowboy or neutral cowboy who just tries not to stir up too much trouble.
Neutral cowboy who doesn't get the rewards of either other cowboy.
Yeah, neutral cowboy actually gets dicked the worst, because he doesn't get any of the prestige or discounts, but he's also not going around wantonly like robbing people and taking all their money. So he's poor and nobody likes him. And he has to live like the rest of us.
Yep, that's the life I live, neutral cowboy.
Yeah, I hope you guys finish the story sometime soon so we can talk about it. I've encountered both glowingly positive feelings about it to like pretty meh neutral, and I can't wait to finish the story to kind of compose my thoughts, because for now I've at least been relatively enjoying the experience quite a bit out of a single player game. And now that I can't rely on Bethesda to give me a good single player game open world, I guess I'm turning to Rockstar.
Oh yeah. Because Rockstar will also give you a good multiplayer open world game.
Well, there's no nuclear warheads in Red Dead Redemption.
That you know of.
To the advantage.
That
I was
you
telling
know of.
Sierra that if we ever find ourselves in a atomic like apocalypse, my last words will be, we have to assume that this is like a global conflict in which the United States, Russia, and let's say a third party China all launch their nukes. I can yell right at my last moments, "No, you'll crash the servers." and then I'll be the funniest man alive for the last seconds of Earth.
Oh, that'd be good, actually. I like that. That's
thank you. Thank you.
My dying words are going to be, "What's a Luxaflux?" But in this voice, "What's a Luxaflux?"
Cookie, did you play GTA 5?
I did play GTA 5.
And the single-player campaign as well? Campaign sounds like a weird word, but here.
Yes, I did. I did go on the campaign trail. No, that was definitely Saints Row. But no, I did play GTA 5.
How did you like the story behind all of that? Because I was a fan. I liked it.
I liked it, too. It was a good story. It was a good game. It was faster paced, so I was able to mostly 99% finish it. I got to like one of the last story missions as everything was wrapping up. Unfortunately, Scott, for your dreams, I'm not going to finish Red Dead.
You're not going to finish the story? I think you can kind of beeline it.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. I'll keep trying, but if my Eevee keeps talking sweet nothings to me, I got nothing.
I'll probably end up doing the same thing. I have a strong feeling that this game is going to follow Red Dead Redemption 1. So,
yes. It is a prequel.
Oh, I guess Red Dead Redemption 1 follows it. No, I just, from a narrative standpoint, I think these games are really, I think there's only one way to redeem yourself if you're a fucking murderer, is kind of the outlook on this game, or on the
series. To become Batman?
Yes.
To murder other murderers.
Oh, the Punisher. The Punisher, to become the Punisher.
Yeah, that's a little
change
more.
Change my answer.
That's a little more accurate. Batman only kills in one multiverse, I think.
No.
He just leaves severely maimed in a fatal situation in most of them.
Pretty much. Oh, no. It's, I guess, yeah, it is Batman technically, but it's his father that's actually killing people.
Yep. Yep. It's still Batman. It's just not Bruce Wayne. It's Bob Wayne. James Wayne?
God damn it. What's his... We know Martha.
Martha!
No, yeah, it's William and Martha Wayne.
William Wayne. Will Wayne. Well, I don't know if there's much more we need to cover at this point. Any,
Yeah. So, for that RCA Calabrio thing, I did record an unboxing at 4 a.m. this morning, so I am going to do a little bit of editing.
Holy crap.
I
don't know if we
room.
Want you to take this sleep study. You're more productive than you've ever been.
I did recording an unboxing, so I'm going to get that edited down and uploaded along with the unboxing of the Let's Go Eevee that I did as well.
The Pokeball?
Oh, yep. And let me tell you what. I found out what happens when you put Eevee in a Pokeball.
You don't like it?
Let's just say that's the sounds we want our significant others to make.
What?
Yeah. It is not child appropriate.
So you can't be walking around with that in your pocket out at brunch?
Pretty much. I would just say Google the Eevee sounds while she's in a Pokeball or he is in a Pokeball.
I don't know if I want to anymore.
Yeah.
It's like the worst and the best all at the same time. Can you?
I'm already on it. Oh, no, it's just people telling you how to turn off the sound cookie. So you can turn off the sound if you want.
But why would you?
I guess I don't know.
Oh, it is a lot of people turning off the sound. I'll get you guys some sound bites.
too many folks embarrassed in public.
Pretty much. I was like, oh, this is how you have the Pokemon in the Pokeball. Oh, this is what the Pokemon sounds like in the... Oh. Oh. Okay. Huh. I feel weird. That shouldn't be that sexual. My Eevee's name was originally Howard, but then I noticed its tail pattern was a girl, so I renamed it Lizzie, and then I put it in the Pokeball, and then it started making all those sounds, and I got confused. I'm Cookie.
And if you want to email us and complain about... Eevee sounds, you can write into podcast@fancyramen.com.
Don't forget to tell your friends by leaving likes and subscriptions on Stitcher, Apple podcast directories, things where you get your podcast.
Yeah, guys, what they said.
All right. I'm have sleepy. A great Cyber Monday, everyone. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie again.
And I'm Scott.
And this was Fancy Ramen. Good night or good day.
Bye.